why should that change anything after you've made up your mind as to what books you're going to recommend for adoption? You're afraid that they would put pressure on staff and board members and so forth?
I really don't think it was thought about. I think this is just the way it was done.
It gets pretty confusing looking at a great big array of books, not knowing which ones really are going to be considered. Maybe a valid point, I don't know. Is there an real serious objection to limiting this to the books that you're actually going to recommend for adoption? I think it's something you ought to give very serious thought to, because I could see a person really wanting to make a critical examination of these books would be, I think they'd be scared off when they looked at that, all of the potential books that could be, are being considered.
Well, Mrs. Moore says we have policy here, Mr. Anson.
I'd like to see the policy.
Somebody go get a copy of the policy? I'd like
well,
to.
Well, I don't think, I think.
Well, now, if we haven't followed the policy.
Yeah, I think so.
That's the way I recall it.
Well, let's see what the policy is, and then let's take a look at it before we get into another round of selecting these books, so that we can agree on how we do want to display these books.
Now the policy requires.
See what the policy is. That the policy says presents what we really want to do. Fine. If it isn't what we want, then we can take a look at it and revise it and come up with a policy which should achieve this particular purpose. Would that be satisfactory? This is what you really mean. You can't change it at this point.
Do they have to be adopted tonight? We haven't followed the policy, and do we have to do it tonight?
Well, I haven't seen the policy.
I'd like to see these books put on display. April 15th.
Well,
that's really why we had to meet tonight late.
See in the future, let's take a look at this before we get into next year's.
There can be no changes or substitutions once this is adopted. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Is that true, Roger? There can be no changes or substitutions after this is adopted.
We are stuck with these books once they're adopted. That's it, have to use them. We have to buy them.
There's a way.
Well, I would approve these books. Then subject to their being placed on display for a month for viewing by the public. And let's get the feelings of people who want to come in and look at these books, and let's get their opinions. I'd like to go over them myself now and have my opinion of my own about them. I question a few things here before we make a final decision on whether or not we're going to buy these books. I'd rather stay with the old books that we have. Yes, sir.
I've never read that thing in the
Well, it's
book.
A policy somebody that we adopted about 2 or 3 years ago, and I brought it up then.
I understand that in the policy manual it says that books will be placed on display for a month at the public library, but I do not understand that there will be distinguishing between those which are recommended for adoption and those which are not recommended. That may be an error.
We'll have to look at it.
Well, we have the policy.
I'd like to make two or three remarks right here, though. In the first place, I think you will find in board minutes that it says that those that's going to be recommended to be described. Would you want to know if you have any alternative to adopting tonight? The only alternative to adopting grades 1 through 6 is to keep what we have, because Monday we must report to the State Department of Education. Now, we can report that we have selected these books, didn't ever buy them, but we can't buy another book. We must continue with what we now have in stock, which I don't think will last us another 5 years.
We can't even buy additional copies of the book we're now using?
I think technically we could not, because we would have adopted different books and have reported. Now, this is true only grades 1 through 6. In the second secondaries to rebid and go our own happy way.
But we don't have, we wouldn't have enough books to continue if we decided we wanted to continue with these.
I'm quite sure we would. I can't remember.
Sure.
Well, you know, right now, maybe I'd prefer to stay with the old books. And maybe we... I'm very hesitant to just go ahead.
You're not in a position to make that.
Right. Now, for instance, now here's, I have some more questions or another question or two. I am not at all happy about the reports I hear out of the National Association of English Teachers and their goals and directives and what we ought to be doing in English. I don't agree with hardly anything they ever say, anything I ever read that they have put out. And if their ideas of what we need in English textbooks are playing a big part in this adoption here, then I don't think I want to adopt them. And I'm very interested in this dialectology. What are we doing with dialectology? It's never, I just don't think I agree with that approach at all. In fact, I'm sure I don't.
What was that?
What I've read about dialectology.
Dialectology.
Right. Now there's a, there's a correct way to speak. Now there may be some slight variations, but dim is never correct. That is never correct for that. Now, if we're talking about this in dialectology, I want to prove these books.
Are these things that you're missing?
Well, now, this is the kind of thing that I've seen with regard to dialectology.
Now, were these part of the objectives of the National Association? Or what was the English teachers? Go ahead.
I think, Roger, did you discuss that in the, during the selection? Did you get into that at all?
I think that Mrs. Conley's reference to dialectology, and you can correct me if I'm in error, in the series that we've adopted, it recognizes the fact from an informational standpoint that there are various dialects used in the English language and exposes students not as necessarily as an acceptable manner of expression, but rather the fact that there are more than one, there is more than one dialect used in the United States. Not necessarily the one is preferable to the other, but the fact that there are more.
Mm-hmm. So I think, well.
But doesn't it emphasize, though, the importance probably of using the proper English and grammatical
all
constructions
right.
And so forth?
Now, in one English book with this, I believe it's the same English book put out by the company that's put out our reading program. In their English book, they say that the correct way to speak is in your area, whatever, let's see, how do they determine that? Whatever the radio announcer says and the TV announcer, however he speaks, and the minister is probably the correct way to speak in your area. But in another area, there may be another correct way to speak. Now, this is the idea they put across. Those are not the words, but they do put that across. And then they have an example in there of, I don't know if it's mountaineer talk. I can't recall now exactly what it is. But the spelling and everything is, you know, spelling according to sound. And the children are told to take a paragraph and rewrite it using dialect English to rewrite the paragraph. Now, it sounds to me like this is very much the same kind of thing, and I won't approve an English book like that. I'm just totally opposed to that approach.
Yes, surely.
For instance, the New England dialect. We all remember Kennedy with his R's.
Cuba.
America is incorrect grammar. It is not America. It ends with an A, and ending it with an R, saying it America doesn't make it correct. Now, that's what I oppose. I'm sorry.
Well, there are many dialect areas. New England, the Appalachian, the Southern, the Southwestern dialect, the dialect of Walter Cronkite and other media people. Those are different dialects, and the stress in the books is simply to make children aware that people do speak with different accents sometimes, but that doesn't make them any less in knowledge, any less in being people. just as we have different languages, we have different dialects of those languages. And we accept people as people. We may not speak the same way, but that particular language or that particular dialect is unique to that particular area. And the books are simply making children aware of those things.
Well,
not recommending they necessarily follow.
Well, now we have always...
They're recommending that we start changing our dialect.
We say Cuber or so on.
If I had a child, if I were an English teacher and I had a child in my class who pronounced that with a D, I would correct his usage and try to teach him how to pronounce it correctly. If I had a child dropping the ing sound off the end of the word and leaving it with N, which I have a tendency to do from my dialect in my section of the country, I would correct that child. I would think that this is the way, the proper way of teaching English. And I know what you're saying. I understand completely what you're saying. I just disagree with it completely. And we've never done this. We have never seen this need in the past. And I just disagree that this is the direction for our English classes to go. And something else that I'm interested in is the nonverbal communication. So I would like for someone to demonstrate to me, what are you trying to get across in nonverbal communication in the English class? I think I've asked this before, and I don't understand what we're trying to accomplish. I remember one lesson, to have a football coach come in and demonstrate several different nonverbal ways of communicating. And I just can't imagine that we'd waste time in a class like that. I'd really like somebody to explain to me what you do. What's the purpose of it? Dr. Warner?
Would you care to comment on that? Go ahead.
I'll comment on it.
Do we need to sit around in a class and talk about such things? I understand it.
Okay. We have someone here. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Indicated her openness for someone to explain to her, and it's simply a matter of making people aware that we do communicate in more ways than one. I am quite frequently in a situation where there is a seminar operating, and students have to be taught to be aware of what people don't say as well as what they do. Sometimes the strongest statements are made in a class by merely a raised eyebrow, or a frown, or a crossed set of arms, and it's just becoming aware of another dimension of communication. Not a major problem, perhaps, but another way to
I think it's a pretty important one, because I recall, I take a look at my boss when he comes in the morning and take a look at his face and see how he feels and how he reacts and so forth before I decide whether I'm going to discuss certain things with him.
How much formal instruction did you have to have before you knew?
I never had any. I picked that up by myself.
All right. How much formal instruction do these children need, and how much formal instruction or time are we going to spend on teaching children about nonverbal communication? For generations, children have known all about nonverbal communication. It comes perfectly natural to use your hands, to raise your eyebrows. And now all of a sudden we have to include this in the English program? I just don't see the need for it. And I know this is the direction. I know this is what the National Association of English Teachers says, and I just don't agree with them. I think that English is being watered down. We're not teaching grammar like we should. We're not getting across like we should. And I just don't agree with the approach at all. I'd rather stick with our old textbooks than to gradually continue to get into this area more and more and weaken what I consider the grammar program.
Alice, I think before you say that, what you should probably do is take one of the old and one of the new. Because
maybe
I
should. Maybe the new's better than the old.
I'm not mistaken. You'll find probably as much hardcore, if you want to call it that, grammar in the new as you will the old.
I thought you were going to say hardcore something else.
Maybe. No.
That kind of goes together.
No, I don't think so.
Because it's, I think the things that they're talking about are things that they're just trying to now make students aware of, maybe an earlier age before they get fired.
Gracious.
How much time we spend on them? I'm sure any one of the English teachers here can tell you they spend very, very little time on something like this.
I just don't see the need to put it in the textbook. Now, And you all are asking me to just completely disregard what I feel about this, forget it, and go ahead and approve these textbooks anyway, and they haven't been displayed as they should be, and I'm not familiar with them. I don't know anything about them other than the little bit that we've been told tonight.
Well, they were all displayed.
Right, but I can't run downtown all the time to see all the textbooks on display. I really would like to have them in my hand. I would like to have had the few, since there weren't too many this time, not the ones dealing with industrial arts and such, but the few that would have been of interest, I'd like to have them in my hand. And they should have been displayed properly. We didn't follow the guidelines there. Now, they absolutely, I was, t- now this is another
I'm
reason
not
I was
arguing
too
the
concerned
point
about
there,
it.
But the,
well, I know.
They were on display.
Right, but, well, I know, but I'm not, I feel some better. I had always felt some better since I thought the books were on display for the public to see and the public was aware of what we were intending to adopt. I have not, up until this time, that's the impression I have been under. And I had no idea that just everything was put out there and people walked into a room full of books and had no idea what was being recommended for adoption.
Seem to be on the horns of a dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be, if you're going to make an adoption, I gather that the adoption has to be made tonight. Is that correct? If you're not going to make an adoption, that's another matter, but I would hate to have to
set
aside.
Well, an adoption could be made April
15th. What?
An adoption could be made April 15th.
Yes, which is next Monday.
I know it, but that's better than tonight.
I think at our last board meeting, we said the specific reason we had to meet the 11th.
That's
which
right.
We had preferred to meet the 16th and combine two
mm-hmm.
meetings rather than have another one was because we had to have this textbook adoption in before the 15th
right.
of April. So that was why we met tonight, and that's why we met late. You know, we had
mm-hmm.
to meet tonight. We didn't have any choice.
Let me just ask a question, Ms. Connolly, and that's this, that even though you may have broadened your areas of concern in the teaching of English and so forth, and you get into dialectology and so on. But in your opinion, does the basic instruction, as far as grammar and rhetoric and so forth, does it suffer at all as contrasted to the former text? You think it is stronger? Do you think that to the extent that dialectology is treated here and so forth, that this will, in your opinion, encourage children to use these dialects rather than to write things and to pronounce things in the proper manner?
I would say perhaps 2 pages, 3 pages per book.
Yeah.
Do we have dialectology in the old book?
Yes.
Where the children are? Could you show me the 2 or 3 pages? And pick out one of the books and let me see what you're talking about. Do you not have
You're talking about Macmillan, Sarah.
The ones you're using now.
Whatever.
She means that.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the one you have.
All.
Now.
All.
It seems if we're going to make any correction, we should start at the philosophical level, and of course that's the start of a new year's selection.
Oh, that's 5 years. It's not just if it's 1 year, maybe.
Well, we don't wait.
There
are another group of texts.
I know, but I'm talking about this particular textbook. It concerns me that, you know, we're talking about something we're going to use for 5 years.
May I please respond to that? This is a scope and sequence of chart from the Dynamics of Language, dealing vertically with the 13 different strands that are developed. The communication, language and literature, grammar, phonology, morphology, word classes, grammar, individual structure and sentence pattern, rhetoric, language content, language history, dialectology. And in this series of books, 7 through 12, dialectology appears only in book 2 and in book 5, a very small section picked up twice in 2 books out of the 6.
You mean it's only mentioned? There's only a lesson on it at that time. Well,
in 2 different books, in 6 book series. And then, of course, the grammar sections, we have 3 formal sections of grammar, and major sections appear in all 6 books. It's a very small fragment.
6 books, and what did you say, through?
Dialectology.
I know, but what grade, what did you say the grades are?
2 and 5, wasn't it?
2 and book 5.
2 and 5.
That would be the 8th grade book has a small section on dialectology, and the 11th grade book, but it would be a very minor section.
In elementary, in the elementary books, then there's absolutely nothing? Do we have elementary adoptions on language arts tonight?
Well, there are some small sections that they deal with kinds of language.
There's no unit on it.
There's no unit on it.
Well, it doesn't take a unit. It just to put the idea in a child's head that because the letter is there and the letter sounds a certain way, doesn't mean you've got to pronounce it that way to be pronouncing it correctly. So it doesn't take a whole unit to do it.
But we're trying to teach the desirable standards rather than we're not holding these up as examples of good practice.
We deal with the standard and then approach the other only as the informal, the thing that is used in a special setting. We don't teach dialects. We help a child understand. And if someone has a dialect that would be approached as substandard, we move him into a standard American speech. We help him to see that he changes into standard American speech just as he changes into standard
code. Now, again, we've had, you know, one of the biggest opponents of this approach, you know who it is? One of the organizations that's the greatest opponent to the approach that you're talking about is the NAACP. That they have come out with a strong statement, or they did come out with a very strong statement about this very thing that you're mentioning. They don't agree with the approach at all. They don't want their children taught dialect English. They don't want them taught that it's acceptable. I know, I'm understanding you, but they don't want them encouraged in this. And
well,
Mr. Hambrick, could I ask your advice? What would you suggest we do under the circumstances where we now stand?
Oh, I have already retired, and that's a good thing, because after I make my statement, I may get whipped. I don't think it makes very much difference what kind of textbook you put out there.
What he's saying is really depends upon the teacher.
I think if I was in the classroom, I would teach exactly the way I want to teach. And I think that's exactly the way our teachers teach. And I'm not saying that's not the way they should.
You're saying, in effect, then, that if we would adopt...
I am a professional teacher, and nobody's going to tell me how to go in my classroom and teach. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I would think then that I can't see that there has been so much change in the last 5 years. If the books we adopted 5 years ago were good then, I don't see any reason for changing. We could save a lot of money if we have some of them that are still in good shape and just replace some of those. Is that out of the question, Dr. Underwood?
Nope.
That's not out of the question.
That's the alternative we have.
Well, you know, why do we need to change? If these books were good, I'm sure someone came to the board 5 years ago and told us, y'all, whoever's on board, not some of you all, how good these books were 5 years ago. Now, why aren't they good now? Why do we need to go into...
I think if you want a comparison...
I'm sure these are more leaning in this direction than the old ones, because every year, this is the trend. This is what concerns me. If we take the ones 5 years ago, I think we're some better off.
I'd have to ask members who study them what the differences in the two books are.
Well, what's the difference?
Make a general comment to say that the existing, speaking of the elementary language arts program that we currently have, in no way correlates with the existing reading program we have, which means we do not have a correlated language arts program. We have two things we're going in two dramatically different directions right now. I would say I can't speak to the specifics other than what I have read about our adoptions, our proposed adoptions, and what I heard from our language arts consultants and our textbook and curriculum study committees. The adoptions that we are proposing are by far more sophisticated, more detailed, more exemplary models of instruction in the English language, more accurate, because of progress in the publishing field, documentary field, than anything we've had in the past. I would say that there's no comparison to quality to the program we have now. I would also hasten to say that the areas of endeavor, the major areas of endeavor, one could find treated in text that we had about 5 years ago, but not with the quality and the incisiveness of the material we have built up.
And then I have another
question.
The hour
is getting a little late. And,
well, I have another question, if you don't mind, before you cut off the discussion. Dr. Underwood, would it be within reason, then, if we adopt these new textbooks, and then we adopt a board policy of what our aim as a board is, what we want children taught in grammar, and then we just simply delete sections of the books that we don't want used? Now, why can't we do that?
As a Board of Education, you can.
All right. It's
you can suggest
well, at
that.
At least that we can have... well,
like
have
Mr. Hamrick says, a good teacher will teach whatever he or she...
Yes, but if a child comes home and reports some
might,
of it...
you might encourage him to do that, Mrs. Moore, but I'm not...
Well, and I think the board controls what goes on in the classroom. And we may not have complete control, and I realize that, but we can exercise more control than we have exercised if we want to.
I think I'd go back to what you said in the beginning, and I think I endorse that we need to set up guidelines when we start these studies, such as this textbook study committee here and so forth, in the future, so that they will be operating under guidelines which are synchronized with the philosophy of the Board of Education, so that we're sure that we agree between the staff and the board as to just exactly what we want them to look for in the text they're going to adopt. And I think perhaps if we had had that sort of an arrangement before these studies had been started, that might have taken care of some of the objections that you have raised this evening. But I think now, at this point, we have given these people a job to do in selecting these texts. And I think they've done a very outstanding job. And, of course, I'm acquainted with the complexion, the people who participated in these studies, and I have a great deal of confidence in them. And I would say, based on what I've heard this evening, that I certainly think that we should proceed with the adoption of these recommendations it should develop that we find that there are some aspects of this, of these books that you feel maybe should not be properly handled in the classroom or shouldn't be not properly presented in the classroom. I think this is indicated. This is a decision that the board can make. And I would rather hesitant to delay the adoption of these at this time, considering all, you know, all the work that's gone into them. And I would certainly urge that they be approved.
Well,
with following in the future, the idea, the suggestion that you have made in the beginning, which I think is a very, very worthy suggestion.
Well, I came here tonight with the idea of approving the adoptions, and the questions I have raised came to me after we went into the books or heard something about the books, and. We have had no guidelines up to this point, and the board has never had any input, as you said, into what are the adoption of textbooks. We've never told the committees, of course, what we wanted, what we did not want. And
so maybe we've been derelict.
We can't blame anyone but ourselves for not having done this sooner.
Yeah.
Because if the board gives this responsibility to someone else, then we accept their decision on it. But I do think that we ought to reserve the right to, as a board, to review these books and decide if there are portions that we do want to delete and let it be known then that these portions of the book are not in accordance with our goals as a school system and we don't want them.
Okay, would you be willing then to go along with the approval of these recommendations on that basis?
The recommendation on this basis.
Okay, would you so move?
I so move.
On all of the books, all of the recommendations of the textbook textbook adoption, that's all six of them while we're at it.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, is that your motion?
Yes,
okay.
That's the motion.
All right, is that moved and seconded? Is there any further any discussion? I think we've pretty well discussed the motion up to
now. Well, I would like to offer thanks to the board for the committee's work, I think. Many hours.
Well, I really appreciate.
Yeah, well, I think we all.
I'm not unappreciative, and I realize all the work that has gone into it. But I feel the board, we are at fault for not having had guidelines before, and we should have had. So the responsibility rests with us on that. And I am very appreciative for all the work that's gone into this. I know
this shows that
I
we're all not perfect. Okay. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried.
I get back to the agenda here, huh?
Yeah. You have a memorandum 177 with reference to the use of Rand Elementary Cafeteria by the First Church of the Nazarene for a covered dish breakfast.
I move that this request be granted.
Second motion.
It's moved and seconded that the request to use Rand Elementary Cafeteria for covered dish breakfast be approved as recommended. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion is carried. Take up personnel next, and Mr. Hughes, would you care to fill us in on some of the changes here and so forth?
A number of changes have been made on the topic we have, but I think to make sure we pass what the rest of this one on today.
Okay.
From 12 to 15, that I have, and most of the changes are the result of last minute information. Very first page of Board Member 173, the name Robert L. Griffith Jr. at the bottom changed the effective date from 419 to
419. Excuse me, I wasn't following you. Will you start again on that?
Robert L. Griffith Jr. It's over again.
Okay.
Changed the effective date from 419.74 to
41.674. That's
already changed. Already changed on ours, okay.
Some of the buildings are already changed on the next page. Page 2, 22, under employment, Agnes Bolden, B-O-U-L-D-I-N.
B-O-U-L-D-I-N?
Right. Effective date, 8-26-74.
8-26-74.
South Charleston High School. Physical education.
Physical ed.
And provisional professional certificate. Next one.
What's a provisional professional certificate? I always forget.
And that's the original certificate, teaching the person for a graduate of 3 years, 9 years, 3 years. 3 years, the person begins their probation. The next thing, under employment, Kathy L. Hendricks.
In that same page?
Yes.
Kathy?
L. Hendricks. 18 drives.
Yes.
8-26-74.
Yeah.
St. Albans High School. English.
Okay.
All right, page four. Under administrative transfers, due to enrollment changes, add the name Lucille Allman, A-L-L-M-A-N, Hansford.
A-L-L-M-A-N?
A-L-L-M-A-N.
Hansford.
Mark off Lucy Brown and Bailey. On page five.
Okay.
And the name Cora Jarvis, Nitro Elementary. Cora Jarvis.
Nitro Elementary.
Mark off.
Pinch, I like that pinch quick.
Pinch quick.
You better pinch quick.
Got some real names right there.
All right. Name Diana Petrie of East Bank Junior.
Yes.
Change that to Diana Lugart.
What, she got married?
Yeah. Exactly right.
How do you spell Lugart?
U-I-K-H-A-R-T.
I'm not sure that's right. L-U-I-K-A-R-T.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. L-U-I-K-A-R-T. All right.
Down the page, the name Janet Wilson Chandler should be Janice.
Janice?
The name at the bottom of the page.
Was that Janice Thompson?
Janice
Wilson. I think it's hard. I got the wrong one here. All right.
Bottom of the
Andrew
Heights. under probationary.
Probationary?
Atha Hoke, H-O-K-E.
H?
Yeah, Andrews High.
What?
Atha, A-T-H-A.
A-T-H-A.
Atha Hoke.
H-O-K-E?
Right.
Andrews High?
And Rose Morrison, Strauss National.
You got several plus, two from Andrews Heights there.
Right. Both those pages, those are changes of hours. We want to encourage you to be recommending that the hours are defined before the year. We might comment on that now.
I'll try it and you fill it in. How's that? This is, we're doing a few things a little different here. First of all, you'll notice we have the usual spring administrative transfer list. Now, I would hope that after so long, staff and the public, let's say as well as staff here in Kanawha County, will get to the point where this administrative transfer list is not a rotten list. You'll note here that no one was placed on administrative transfer unless the job that they were specifically doing within a school was affected because of decline in enrollment. And that's the only reason anyone's on here. We've also tried, rather than waiting until the latter part of April to do this, to get it in as quickly as we could once we had made our decisions in terms of enrollment factors and all, so that the teachers who are placed on administrative transfer will have a better opportunity to select the positions they want within the system. I'll go through administrative transfer and how it works once more and more time. As I say, the only people placed on there are those that are there because of a decline in enrollment within a school. The teachers who are placed on administrative transfer, their names are then listed in order according to seniority, and then they choose the job they want that they're certified for. I think you've heard me say a number of times that principals, since they're responsible for staffing and personnel within their building, should most definitely be the ones to make the recommendations to me concerning staffing their building. This is the only case where that's not true at all. These people are placed on a list according to seniority, and then they choose the jobs they want.
Oh, you mean the selection of jobs on a seniority basis?
Yes. If we have, and I have no idea, if there are eight social studies or eight English teachers on here from the secondary level, we will have eight people on a list, and the one who has been in Kanawha County the longest will be on the top of the list. As English jobs come open within the county, the first one on that list gets the first shot at whatever job she or he wants. Another comment, you'll notice, and we were able to do this, and I think possibly we might, I don't know how we could do it because of numbers, but we might possibly try next year. You'll notice that on page three, it says transfers, period. There is a list of people, all EMR teachers. And instead of being placed on administrative transfer, since again, its connotation is bad, and I don't think it should be, we only had these people that were going to be placed on transfer because of the reworking of our total EMR program. Mr. Holland, Mr. Hughes met with these people and was able to tell them where the openings were, so the transfer was affected right then, rather than we had it done.
Can I ask a question as a matter of information on page three here? On these, a couple of these special education teachers, you show them transfer like Joseph, how do you pronounce that, Fragel? Fragale? You have them transferred from special education at Elkview Elementary to special education one half Frame and one half Elkview Elementary. How can he?
This was described in our county plan, but the 25th of April we'll have one more board meeting during the month of April, which will be the 25th, and at that time we're going to go completely through our EMR program specifically. Our resource rooms, our mainstreaming, self-contained rooms, the whole thing, and I really think that they could give you...
Well, the class is a whole-day class, isn't it? It's not like...
No, it isn't. No.
Oh, it isn't?
No.
I know it's necessary to make these a public record, but I know that teacher sees their name in the paper. It's sort of a derogatory thing, and I just wondered if...
The papers would hold it?
...that they could be withheld from publication.
Mike, did you suggest to both papers that they use the word transfers due to enrollment changes? You haven't?
It'll be too late on one.
Due to enrollment changes, due to elimination of programs.
Yep, now they already, how about, has the Gazette picked up the correct list here or not? Okay, she's already gone, huh?
But it's...
Dr. Underwood, I realize, you know, if you have cases where you have two teachers in the same subject and so forth, and in a case like that, does seniority not play a role, play a part, should it not?
On administrative transfer?
Right.
At the county level, I feel that we're in no position to say specifically how people will be placed on the administrative transfer list. I think... if we did, we'd be putting a principal and a total program, I think, in jeopardy. I think it's obvious at the senior high level. If the enrollment is going down in a specific subject area, that's where the principal will work in terms of an administrative transfer, so that's obvious. At the elementary level, I don't think it's quite as obvious, but if the principal sees the enrollment dropping at the, at the primary level, I think he or she would rather place a primary teacher on an administrative transfer list rather than an intermediate.
Right, I understand that, and I'm not...
That's why what we've done really is just say and put the burden, and it's a burden, there's no question about it, on the principals. And have just said, you know your program, you know what you have to have, and you're going to have to make a decision about if you have a declining enrollment, who goes on the administrative transfer.
Well, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you as far as, you know, the area that the teacher is in. If that's the area that where the transfer has to be made, then it has to be made in that area. But we were getting away, or trying to get away from the idea of, or the possibility of the administrative transfer list being used to, as, I don't know what you call it, disciplinary action.
As a junk
get rid
list.
Of a teacher just
yeah,
in
this is what it's time. Considered.
All right. Well, it's not supposed to be, is it?
I mean, it isn't.
If there's something wrong with the teacher, then there's supposed to be a good... All right, it's not supposed to be. Well, this is what I was getting at. If all things are equal, then shouldn't seniority play a part in that case?
I'd say if all things are equal, certainly.
This is what
my
I...
my feeling, but that's...
If all things were equal, if you had... if you're sitting there with an English department of six, maybe one was specifically in speech or journalism, something like this, which would eliminate them possibly. But if all things were equal, possibly the principal would take longevity, seniority.
Right on the reverse of that, you had two art classes or two art teachers this year, and the children next year elected their subjects, half of them did not take art, but take biology.
Well, well, we have to do it.
Well, I realize that, but what I'm getting at is, should we not require that, should seniority not play a part? What I'm saying is where it's all equal, though. Where you have two people and one has seniority and over the other, and quite a bit of seniority, in that case, should it not be, where there's just a matter of this one or that one, should it, seniority not play a part? It seems that it's only... fair and right in that case that it should be.
I think in many cases it does.
Well, what I'm getting at is it should not in all cases, maybe.
If we want to say in all cases it will, I think we're placing our principals in jeopardy in terms of their program. I really do.
I think it's a general guideline. They certainly ought to follow that.
Yeah, but Alice said all things were equal in John's illustration there where you had these two art teachers. Alice is saying that if one has seniority over the other, they're both good teachers.
seniority should be respected as to the transfer of the teacher. If that teacher wants to stay there, she should have her choice.
And two, now, if one is not...
how you get all things equal is very intangible.
Okay, but...
we're
not supposed to use the administrative transfer list to get rid of the bad teacher either. So...
there's no... as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sincere about this, I know as a matter of fact that some of our finest teachers are on this list. And I hate to see them put on those.
You're misunderstanding me. I'm not suggesting that it's any other way.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that since we do not use the administrative transfer list to get rid of a teacher, the principal isn't supposed to use a transfer list just to get rid of a particular teacher he doesn't get along with for disciplinary purposes, then it would seem to me that if all things are equal, then seniority should be the deciding factor.
Well, there's even cases on here where the teacher himself has requested to be on here.
That's what it's coming to now.
Right, okay.
So he realizes that he may get the chance or an opportunity to get some area that he wants.
Well, I don't have that
in
mind.
I don't think that still destroys the significance of the statement, and I would agree that all things being equal, but this is a question of when are all things equal?
Well, I don't know, but the only inequality, do you understand what I'm getting at? The only inequality, though, if you're talking about one teacher being better than the other, then we're not supposed to be using administrative transfers for that purpose anyway.
Nope.
I'm saying if we have
two third grade teachers,
and we need one third teacher, whatever level, then it should be on the basis of seniority, not on the basis of whichever teacher you didn't like. If it's two third grade teachers, I'm not talking about one up here in the sixth grade and another down in the first grade. But do you understand what I'm getting at?
I know exactly.
Except I could see, the question is,
but it concerns me. Well, it concerns me. Should we not do something about it? it seems to me that would be the
administrative guideline. Maybe they ought to encourage them to do that.
I think I'll be real honest with you. One of the things that I've said to the principals group a number of times is watch yourselves, because many, many of them are using last in, first out. And I've said, now watch yourself carefully, because if you use that as your sole criteria, you know, when your enrollment's declining, you might find the year when you're really going to be hurt, because you're not going.